Okay, it's great to be back with you for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Welcome back, Peter Grandage.
Glad to be here.
It's a cliche now, may you never live in interesting times, and we're certainly seeing that. A stock market that can gyrate 1,500 to 2,000 points in just a month or two. We haven't seen anything like that since the bottom of 2008, 2009, and the top of the year 2000 internet bubble. Plus gold, at least from the beginning of the year, another big stampede out of the gate, and now we're consolidating a bit.
I think what we've seen, at least from hindsight being 2020, is if I knew for certain or near certain, I'd be making this call for my series of islands. So I want to be clear, I don't really know for certain, but there's a conflict in the equity market. On one hand, I think even the most bullish ardent would say that fundamentals suggest the market is pricey. The market is going to witness and is witnessing a decline in corporate earnings. And many of the things that normally in past economic cycles would be negatives for general equities. However, and that's a cop-out word, but however, nevertheless, we are also, in a sense, been groomed and also become addicted to the belief that so long as monetary policy is easy and interest rates remain low, that's extremely beneficial for equities. And that's really what propelled the last rally. When it became apparent that the fear of a dramatic rise in interest rates was not going to happen, and recent past experience in the last several years of so long as the Fed is not raising rates, it's good for equities, drove not only new money into the market, but really a dramatic short position that was taken at the beginning of the year, betting on the fundamental argument, really helped get the market equities back to where it is. On the gold side, I think really, if you look at the news from just a few years ago till now, just about everybody seemingly had given up on it. Everybody had predicted its demise, or its clear evident was heading below 1,000. And when that didn't happen and some of the fundamentals started to kick in, because we've had such a several years now of not a lot of money going into exploration for new production, clearly concerns worldwide. Maybe people more concerned about fundamentals out than in the United States drove people, or at least a certain amount of people, back into gold. And it had really been sold completely out. I mean, anybody who wanted to sell had sold by then. So two markets that have both moved up in this year, but I think one is in its last leg, which is the equities, and one which is in its new leg is the gold market.
That's interesting because, you know, there's been so many people calling the top in stocks now over the last several years. And every time a new top is called, equities just come roaring right back, and we're above that weekly 50-period moving average once again. Valuations are just simply out of control. The only other time I remember anything like this was the year 2000 peak, where Ask Jeeves and Red Hat priced to perfection to infinity valuations. When do U.S. equities actually reflect value?
Well, I think the first thing is to understand that while we're certainly up from the lows that we began the year with, in a net regard, we've really gone nowhere. We're flat for the year. In fact, if we go back to before the last financial crisis, equities have actually been a losing proposition, because after you take in purchasing power loss, they're actually slightly down. But again, because the latest hurrah has been to the upside, it looks like, you know, they've been profitable. I think the mistake, and I've made so many of them, but I think the mistake that some of us who have not been roaring bullish has made is to keep comparing everything that happens in this market to what used to happen in past markets. I think the game has changed. The players have changed. First of all, we have robots and algorithms and all these other things that didn't exist 10, 20, 30 years ago. We have certainly an unbelievable change in monetary policy that didn't exist beforehand. So maybe if there's one error, and if we had to do it over, we unwind that. But I still think, I really do, that in the long, long, long run, stock market becomes what it was originally set up to be, and that's a place where you can buy and sell pot ownership in businesses. And those businesses, most of them, will do well and not so well if the economy is doing well and not so well. And And I don't think there's much of a doubt that the economy outside of a very narrow focused group of people has not performed well. So inevitably, hopefully the weight of reality overwhelms the unbelievable, don't worry, be happy atmosphere that we've been in for quite a while. And eventually people say, listen, it's not worth paying up for this anymore because there's nothing left to make it another extension. And I think in part that's what's happened. That's why I think the market has been flat overall, despite these volatile times. But there's not yet anything for what people are going to sell it off and stay out of it yet, because the monetary positions are not causing them to take that position.
Obviously, at least on paper, a technical recovery with unemployment dropping under 5%, at least if we believe their numbers and we don't discount for inflation and we don't adjust the GDP and we believe the hedonics. I mean, there has been a pseudo economic recovery, and that was enough to keep funds flooding in, stocks going on both sides of not only the Pacific, the Atlantic. They were in search of better returns. That certainly boosted the United States buybacks here as well in the U.S. Eventually, investors are going to be stuck with a really crummy hand. Let's talk about diversification. Let's talk about a better hand. Five of a kind. Gold and silver. Unloved assets for almost 5 years. Give us your thoughts here, please.
I think we went through such a dire bear market for multiple years across the wide spectrum, not just in the physical market, but everything related to it, mining shares, exploration shares, last one out, turn out the lights kind of a feeling. And it was for such a long sustained time that the first evidence that the worst was over is we run out of sellers. That's what happened. There was no one left to sell. You know, we then got a little bit of a boost. There started to be a belief that the interest rates weren't going to go up as much as people feared. That gave a little softness to the dollar. That gave some, at least maybe initially, some short started to cover. And then we've seen some, you know, substantial physical buy-in. And I, again, because it's not beneficial for people who sell financial assets, which is 99% of the financial world, to look for gold to go up, they're just not going to look and talk about the benefits for what's shaping up for gold. But one of the things that is shaping up is that on a relative value basis compared to equities and even bonds, gold has historically now offered some real value. And it clearly is minimally something that for decades, as long as I was around, it was said all the time. It's clearly cheap insurance. At the very minimum, even if you're an equity lover, you buy it just like you buy home insurance and fire insurance and pray to God you never have to go pull out the policy and call the insurance agent. So I think for one reason, and that alone, we saw buying. But I do believe there's a shift now. I do believe there's some serious, not only central bank interest, but large institutional and retail interest. And we can see that when it corrects, it doesn't get whacked and stay down that the way it had been for quite a while. And I think that's a sign that not only is selling exhausting, but people are willing to buy, especially if there's a little dip in the price.
You know, you're also a technician. You don't just look at the fundamentals. Any support levels, any resistance levels that come to mind, we're watching, for instance, 1200 in gold as good, solid support. We'd like to see a breakout above 1400 as a sign of a resumption of the bull market. Silver, we'd love to see hold 1415 and then a break above 1850 on to 2021. Any thoughts?
I think that technical analysis tends, especially now because we have such a huge amount of pools of money, can become self-fulfilling prophecies if enough people place a point or a line and say, if that happens, this means something. It's clear psychologically that if you can get a market above a price that seemingly was difficult for gold, it's a little bit above 1300. I don't follow silver as closely, so I don't know the actual technical points. But let's face facts. We're not going to have a bull market in gold and not one in silver and vice versa. So if I was just a silver bull, I think it would be beneficial if gold can get above and stay above 1300. I would say that's probably, from a technical standpoint, one of the things. From the people on the shorter term, there's so much manipulation in it now, and it's widespread. And, you know, these computer-driven things, it's hard to sit there as an individual and think you can point that out. But I still say that it would be most beneficial for gold to get above 1,300. I think any remnants of people still saying it's a bear market rally would be removed if and when something like that happens.
You know, I agree with you, and I think that most of these algorithms we've talked about for years, and actually I've been heavily involved with, shorter term in nature. They don't, I don't think, have a substantial impact on the longer themes in the market, which I think gives us, as longer term focused investors, a edge over people who want to trade in and out of these markets. I like the idea that you issued to your subscriber base, and maybe the end of last year or early this year, where you said, I've come to the conclusion that really building a strong portfolio, diversified portfolio, is the way to go almost invariably. And so maybe now would be a great time to overweight or increase the exposure to precious metals.
Well, Jimmy Dines had a great saying for years. He used to say that market timing is very, and that's what happens with market timing. You know, if you just missed by a day or two, it can mean missing the whole move of a market. I agree. Diversification is key. I think earlier you made a point that I wanted to respond to, and I think it could tie into this, and that is, you made a very good point. Outside the U.S., particularly North America, we've seen nothing short of some disasters in equity markets. And I think that helped the U.S. because they felt they had to be somewhere. But eventually, if that continues, inevitably their valuations will become so cheap compared to ours, that you'll see a shift. I don't know if we're there yet. I don't track that on a daily basis. But that could be another part of what eventually brings this equity market to a halt and actually turn down. Because, you know, as a fund manager, you sit and go, okay, I like companies, okay. And then I see this company in Germany or South America, and I see its revenue base and this and that, and a PE of 8. And I see a very similar competitor in the U.S. at 18 or 28, there'll be a shift. That will be the diversification. So if I was starting a portfolio today, I'm not here and or securities licensed to tell people what to do. But for me personally, my portfolio would be heavily weighted now outside of the U.S. I think going forward, I think there's far less risk in some of those markets than there still remains in the U.S. market.
Our recent guest, Jim Rogers, certainly concurs with your sentiments. I mean, it's almost a mantra. He is saying, look at Russia, look at some other nations outside the U.S. You know, he loves the ruble. He loves the Russian stock market that's just been decimated. A lot of our guests are looking for crude oil to find a bottom in the next few months. Monty Guild and his team over there, Guild Investments, and many others would like to see a solid bottom, the precious metals as well. All bear markets eventually come to an end unless it's a stock which goes out of business. You know, the metals can't exactly go out of business. Well, Peter Grandich with Peter Grandich and Company. He's been on the show now for a decade. It's a real pleasure to have him back.
Glad to be here.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity. Brazil Resources, based in the 8th largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves. Industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska.
To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond. Your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.